Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, P.
We're
gonna
ask Elliot about it.
On the phone from his home.
Oh, WI.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Friday at 3 o'clock, we are joined by the one, the only. Thank God, Elliot Shore Parks. Call brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Man, I should have just stayed in the Eagles locker room, put my phone on speaker, and let that play for everybody to hear. So it could be the hype song for the weekend.
Yeah. So top thing for me, at least, is from an injury standpoint, is there anyone you think not going to play that we think is? Is there anyone that's going to play that we don't think is? Where are we there?
No, they seem like a very healthy team heading into this game. Obviously, no N'Kobe, no Brandon Graham, who were starters at points this season. But outside of that, Dallas Goedert, who missed practice yesterday with an illness, was back at practice today. It looked like everyone else was there and accounted for. The final injury report is not out yet. So barring any surprise that might have happened at practice today, it seems like they are about as healthy as you could hope for heading into this game.
And I saw AJ limited yesterday, but he was practicing, and is he out there today, I assume?
Yeah, so last week, if you remember, AJ didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday, and I think he might have even been limited on Friday. He talked earlier this week and said that he was obviously going to do more this week. So the fact he was even limited yesterday is kind of a step in the right direction based off what he did the week before. So, yeah, he should be good to go for Sunday.
Now, you mentioned N'Kobe, of course, out for the playoffs. What do you think the role for Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is going to be on Sunday?
I think he's going to play quite a bit. I don't think either him or Oren Burks is going to step in and play, you know, 95 or 100% of the snaps like N'Kobe did. I do think it'll be a bit of a committee taking over, but I don't think it's going to be Oren Burks for a large majority of them. Vic Fangio seems comfortable with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I think that his skill set actually fits well for having to step into a game like this. He's not a prospect that's come in like, I can't remember the linebacker's name from a few years ago at Colorado, but you know, he's not a
Davion Taylor.
Yeah, he's not Davion Taylor, right, where he's been drafted because of his raw athletic ability and he needs to learn the game. I mean, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has a high football IQ. So I do think he is set to come in this game. And Vic Fangio seems very comfortable in playing him. They've played young guys all year. So I think Trotter's going to play quite a bit.
Yeah, I think his instincts will help. The fact that he's more of a sure tackler than somebody who comes up out of control and just misses tackles should help. And then more importantly, got a ton of talent around him. I mean, it helps when, you know, you got a ton of talent around you and you can go out there and sort of just do your job and make sure you do that well.
Yeah, and look, obviously we don't know what it's going to do on Sunday. I know later you guys will get the updated forecast. But I do think that his game actually fits well in the snow because it does slow everything down just a little bit. Uh-huh. So for him making his first, it's not start, but, you know, playing a lot of snaps, I think that it's actually advantageous to his game as well.
You need to just go ahead and put him in the starting lineup, man. I'm already envisioning an axe swinging Sunday at some point in time.
That hammer is real, for real.
Yeah, I was wondering when the pause was coming. But, one interesting thing, too, with this is, so Tyler Higbee, who's missed a lot of this year, he's obviously their top tight end, hasn't played a lot, but he played last week. It looks like he's going to play this week. You would think that McVay is going to try to get either Trotter or Oren Burks lined up on him one-on-one. Now, they do play a lot of zone, the linebackers, so it's going to be tough just because how they play their defense to really isolate Trotter. But that is one thing to look for. I mean, McVay is going to realize that's a new starter, that's a rookie, he has his top tight end back. So that would be one concern I would have from a Rams offensive standpoint.
I'll tell you, the story is still to be written, but we're pretty sure, obviously, about Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean as wins from the draft. But Jalix Hunt played, I think, 19 snaps last week.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, a guy who I think the general consensus is that he was going to be a project, and he was sort of forced into that because of BG's injury, but nobody forced them to play him 19 snaps. And that and Jeremiah, you know, if he's able to show something we could look at this as this draft as, like, from a defensive standpoint, is really, really a huge success.
Well, and that's why it helps when, and not to cut you off, E, but that's why it helps when you allow the person who's the architect of the defense, who knows the type of personnel he wants out there running his defense, to have influence on who you're drafting. Right, and who you're bringing in. You know, that's why I can trust Vic Fangio, because he's also had his opportunity to put his eyes on these guys. And this isn't how he's saying, here, I drafted these guys, now make it work. No, these are guys I believe Vic Fangio envisioned, whether it was this year or next year, having a role. So, and with Jalix, I think Jalix is out there. He's an athlete. He provides speed off the edges. And if you use him in the right situations, you can get some production out of him.
Well, and two things off of that. One, the fact that Bryce Huff only played one snap tells you Vic
right.
is going to play who he wants to play.
But yep.
The other thing, you know, this past year at the Combine, Howie talked about how they felt last year they didn't play enough young guys, and they leaned on going to veteran players. You look at this year, Quinyon's played the entire season. Cooper came in basically as soon as he was ready, coming off that injury from training camp. And then you bring up Jalix Hunt. Like, they had Charles Harris on the roster when Brandon got hurt, who's been a veteran in this league for a few years. Obviously, they have Brett.
I didn't remember he was here.
Him. Yeah, exactly, because they're playing the young guys. So I don't think there is a hesitation to play Trotter this week because of his lack of experience. If Vic feels he's ready to go, and the way Vic talks about him, he feels like he's ready to go, I think you'll see him out there.
So, Elliot, how do you see this one going on Sunday?
So, you know, last week against the Packers, as the week went on, I got progressively more nervous about the game, which I know you can relate to, Spike.
Yes, sir.
As this week has gone on, I really don't feel that. I just think they're better than the Rams in basically every facet. I think their offense is better than the Rams' defense. I think their defense can handle the Rams' offense. I think the Rams are not a team well set up to come play in the snow. They're more of a finesse team, in my opinion. Even their defensive line, that is very good. Like, the Rams have the better defensive line in this game. They're an undersized unit, in my opinion, especially going up against the Eagles' offensive line that is an oversized offensive line. So when you add everything up, like, I think they're going to win this game pretty convincingly. Maybe the snow makes it a little interesting because they can't score as much, but I'm going to pick them to win 27-17.
You know, we had Nick Kostos on earlier, who said actually that the snow favors the offense, and he sees the over happening because defensive players have a harder time, you know, catching up and staying with offensive players in a situation like that.
So I would agree with that overall, but when you look at this game specifically, the Rams like to throw the ball, and when you're throwing the ball as an offensive line and a pass blocker, you're being pushed back, right? So you're losing your footing. So I think in this game, it doesn't favor the Rams' offense. I do think the flip side of that is the Eagles have an offense that is, you know, not built around the passing game. So their offensive line gets to push forward. And when keeping your feet, you know, getting your footing in the snow is such a big deal, I think for the Eagles' offensive line, it's a positive. But I think the Rams' offense, it actually hurts them.
All right, Elliot. Well, you can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. I listen to Go Birds daily every day on my morning walk.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and as I know, Ike does not.
Okay, I still appreciate you, Ike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, we all get enough of each other here.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't need to hear you in the morning.
Yeah. And it's twice a day during weekdays now that they're in the playoffs. You get it wherever you get your podcast. All right. Oh, one quick thing, Elliot. With the weather happening, I always like to get an Elliot, you know, fit check. With the weather happening on Sunday, what are we looking at from an Elliot style perspective?
Ooh.
So I actually got a new coat I was thinking of wearing. That basically, it's like a pea coat, but it goes down. You know those really long
ones? Yeah, that's what I need
down
you in.
To like almost like my ankles. So I was thinking about wearing that, and then
down to your ankles.
Yeah, it's a long one. Yeah, it's like one of those long pea coats.
Sounds like a lady coat.
No, it's a man's coat.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, very manly.
Well, I'm definitely wearing it now. I can tell you that. But I don't think I'm going to do a hat. I've been debating it all day. Like, think I'm going to keep no hat. So I guess maybe I'll do gloves, a scarf, and my long lady coat.
Okay. My long lady coat.
And Elliot, real quick before you go, what do you think about the Joel Embiid injury?
No, we're not. Oh, the line broke up. The line broke up. The line broke up.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen you do that before.
The line, it's just, it wasn't, I didn't do anything. He had a bad cell connection. Bad cell connection. Wait a minute. Before we get to the Embiid thing, because we'll talk about that here, obviously, but a pea coat that goes down to your ankles?
Not a good look.
Yeah, that, I don't.
I mean, quite frankly.
He's not tall enough to wear it, because it's just going to make him look shorter.
Well, men wearing coats down to your ankles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just saying. It's not necessary.
Yeah. And he's
your calf is good enough. The knee is good enough.
Yes.
You know, like you can wear your little trench, your little pea coat down to your knees. That's good enough.
Oh, what's Elliot? 5'9"?
Yes.
It's going to make him look ridiculous.
Well, how do you walk? It makes walking harder.
Yes, because you're going to have to
walking harder.
Well, because you're going to have to button it up because it's going to be cold. You're not going to have range of motion.
Well, he's not going to button it all the way up.
Okay.
So right, he's going to button it up to his waist so that he can walk freely with the coat. I just don't like the idea that it's all the way down to his ankles.
Yes. That's ridiculous.
Is he Matrix? Is he, is he Neo?
Neo.
Yeah. Did Neo wear the long trench coat?
He did.
Right?
He did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, as Jack mentioned, a press release from the Sixers today. Joel Embiid participated in an on-court workout yesterday after missing the last six games due to a left foot sprain. While the foot sprain has healed, Embiid experienced an increase in swelling in his left knee following the workout. After consulting with the team medical staff and external doctors, Embiid will receive treatment in the coming days to address the swelling. As a result, he will be out for the road trip and reevaluated in approximately 7 to 10 days. I think most people at this point had said this season was over, right? I mean, there was that little flurry that we had around Christmas, around the win over the Celtics, and they were climbing closer to 500, and they're right there. But their ability to survive without Embiid has been terrible this year, and they have their toughest stretch of games of the season coming up in January, and like the trade deadline's February 6th. Which this will take you pretty close to that. So this season is over. What I would say is, if you were thinking about the lottery, and you should prepare for the Sixers to be in the NBA lottery this year. And
ooh.
Well, and remember,
well, we got to be bad enough to keep our pick, right?
Well, it's the lottery, so yeah. So we have if it's top six, we have it.
Right.
So it's going to be hard for them. Just looking at the standings to get like worse than 6th, 7th, 8th as far as worse. So there's going to have to be a little bit of luck because there's a bunch of teams at the bottom of the league that are not only bad, but actively trying to lose, which as long as you have Maxey out there and Paul George out there, like the team's going to win too many games to be one of the three or four worst teams in the league.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But I think, you can't tank now by not playing Maxey and Paul George because the league's going to get mad. But I would imagine that last month of games, boy, we're going to see a lot of DNP illness, DNP, hamstring tweak, that sort of stuff. So as bad as anyone could have seen this season going, this is 10 times worse. This is the worst season since I started doing the podcast, obviously. Just at least in relative to expectations, it's just awful.
I think the biggest thing I normally hear from fans is that it's one thing if it was only going to be this season.
Yeah.
Like we just signed these contracts, so these guys aren't going anywhere anytime soon. So how does it get better moving forward?
Yeah, and as far as Joel goes, is like, I wouldn't be optimistic about it. You know, I would have no. And like, look, if they're not going to decide to tank, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like in terms of the they're not going to do a 3 to 5 year rebuilding plan. Right. They're not going to do it. If you wanted to, you trade Paul George pretty easily at this point. I mean, you could get off of those things if you wanted to, mm-hmm. but like they're not going to do that.
What's the likelihood of that? No.
Like just rebuilding?
No. I mean, at some point, if you feel like the big fella, this is what you're going to deal with, then you truly don't have a legitimate chance. So what's the point of...
Yeah,
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can get somebody to take Paul George's contract, then you may as well start to get some other movable pieces because I don't know how much you can count on Joel being healthy.
My gut would be they will... Because I think the only year of Paul George's contract, and there's a lot of people, because they're losing, everybody's like, he's cooked, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I watch every game, every minute of every game. He's not cooked. He's not what he was 5 years ago or 7 years ago, but he can be a contributor to a championship.
Sure, but you need a team that's ready to win a championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I would do if I was them is, what I think they'll likely do, is you go into next year, cross your fingers, maybe Joel, like who knows. And if it's not, then you trade him by the deadline.
Right.
You know, and you get something out of it and you move on. It doesn't do you any good because you're stuck with Joel anyway at this point.
Right.
So it doesn't do you any good to just get rid of him this offseason because Joel's going to play next year and he's going to be here unless you feel like his value is going to go off a cliff by him playing next year, meeting Paul George. Mm-hmm. So I think if they don't somehow miraculously in the first half of next year become a team that looks legitimate, I think then you would really explore it. I don't think they would explore it beforehand. My gut tells me they wouldn't because they have Joel here anyway, they have Maxi here anyway, so on and so forth. So that's what I think.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. I'm just thinking about with these fans, how do you move on from the anger that's directed there and get them to believe in something? Because I think the fans would be willing to believe in a Maxi, Jared McCain, and you start adding young players and just start over versus, well, this is what we have, and we never get to see them play all together.
But I think then what you end up having, too, is then, look, Maxi just signed a giant contract. Mm-hmm. Maxi doesn't want to be a part of some rebuilding effort. So then what you happen...
Well, sure he does.
No, he doesn't.
As the face of the franchise?
Nope.
What choice does he have?
Well, look at the way NBA players act. I guess
that's not Maxi.
Your point about like taking down the temperature with the fans, I don't think,
because there's so much anger surrounding the team.
I think it'll go from anger to just not caring at all. But I don't think people would be encouraged by watching Tyrese Maxi go out there every night and shoot 14 of 35 and they lose. Like, I just think people will. You've been around here.
I think they're willing to embrace young guys with a hope of something can be different. They've given up on this.
Right, yeah.
They've given up on this. So if you got to give your fans something, they'd be willing to start over with young players and you keep adding, you keep building on. Because I look around, man. Look at Cleveland. Look at OKC. I'm not saying they're ready to win a title, but they didn't tank, and they don't have – I mean, they got Donovan Mitchell there.
Yeah.
But, like, they've added a bunch of other pieces, and they got the best record in basketball.
Well, they didn't tank. They were just bad for a while. Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they
sort of – But they were adding pieces while they were bad.
And Oklahoma City – and I also think it's different in markets like that. Like, Oklahoma City – because Oklahoma City tried to tank. It's just they had Chris Paul 1 year. It was like a very, very strange way of doing it. I think there is a different. I think they will give next year a shot. My gut is they will give next year a shot. And if that doesn't work out, then they will do their best to turn them.
As long as we got a Hall of Fame general manager at the helm, they're always going to have a chance.
They do have a Hall of Fame general manager.
I totally agree.
You're being sarcastic.
Of course,
but, his big guy, your big get was Dave Dombrowski,
who went to the World Series,
who has been okay. He is the general manager.
Okay,
so he didn't go to the World Series. So since he's been here, what is the big move that Dave Dombrowski has made?
Kyle Schwarber.
Okay.
Or Trey Turner.
Okay. Trey Turner, who is a contract. If you Jack Fritz could eliminate the Trey Turner contract, would you?
No.
All right. Yes, you would. You want to go over the you want to go on a lie detector with that?
No.
Okay. So he also signed Taiwan Walker.
Yeah.
Right, to a $20 million a year deal. That is 2 years left. What did he do with the last two deadlines to make the team better?
Sat him out.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So that's, I'm just saying, but good general managers can, it doesn't mean that everything is going to work out the way that you want it to.
I know. Take a deep breath.
No. don't deep breath me. If you're gonna come at me, you better be ready to.
Take a deep breath.
No, I just want to hear.
I want to hear your plan.
I just want to hear what Dave Dombrowski's done.
They're going to be good this year.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to be good.
Okay. All right. Oh, boy.
Let's get back to the Eagles.
Yeah. Let's strangle him over there. Little shots here and there.
Yep.
So the good news is we have Tornado Shapiro next.
Oh, we need him this week.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first time, writer, I think, that we've had Tornado Shapiro when there looks like weather could be a factor in the game.
Oh, there was weather last week.
Oh, yeah, we did, temperature-wise.
Temperature-wise, yeah. Right. So Tornado Shapiro gives your game day forecast next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show.
Okay.
With Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Love and Happiness at 2:30.
And then rolling at 3:30.
Limp Bizkit.
Okay, okay. Is this Limp Bizkit?
Yes.
Okay.
Trying to do the 2017.
Yeah. Okay. Not Battle. The Sludge used this in all of the Eagles promos that year and ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
how about that?
There you go. There you go.
I didn't even know that.
Well, looks like we're going to get a little bit of weather on Sunday, which unfortunately means that there is a reason to have Tornado Shapiro back. Hi, Tornado.
That is true. You need me this week, friend, and you know it. I mean, come on, who doesn't love the frolic in the snow? And fire that music, please. I'm ready.
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
This is what we live for. 37 degrees at kickoff, but then the temperature dips like the city's confidence in Jake Elliott. Possible. You're looking at a wintry mix. Do you ever do it in the snow, Ike?
You mean play?
Do what? Do what?
You play football, do you mean?
You make those snow angels. My snow angels are always pointing due north, straight up at the heavens. Except at night in the moonlight when I'm aiming at Uranus.
The planet.
Oh, wow.
The planet.
Love the astronomy, astrology, you never know. Some people do welcome the cold, you know. A few years back, I was doing a little parking down by the stadium with Frisky Fran, a full-figured, weathered gal with a bad attitude, she and Frozen Flo Flurry, over at WWWG, I don't care. Car went dead. No heat. Dead battery. The only thing working was Tornado Shapiro. I was frozen stiff. Well, I had my personal jumper cables out that night. You know, be careful when you're entertaining in the car in the snow. You need to jerk that parking brake up.
Huh?
Avoid it. Ike knows it.
He does.
That's where I get it from. I always love when the Rams come to town. One of the big hallmark franchises in the league. One night it was me, Ike Reese, Roman Gabriel, and Joe Pellegrino.
Joe Pellegrino.
Talked three waitresses from the Red Robin up on Robbins and Frankfurt into skinny dipping in the freezing Pennypack Creek. Ooh, the cocktails those ladies were serving, that was worth the frostbite. Then it was the year 2000. Dick Vermeil brought the Rams owner, George the gorgeous Giorgio Frontieri, back to the Vets. You talk about the greatest show on turf. Come on. It was worth blowing out my ACL, I'll tell you that. I still got the rug burns to prove. Badge of honor!
Oh, wow.
Wow, with Giorgio Frontieri?
Giorgio Frontieri. She was married 7 times. It would have been 8, but Kurt Warner had deceivingly good speed. The old Vet. One night, late night, it was myself, Ike, Mike Martz, Howard Mudd, 4 ball girls out in center field at Vet Stadium. We were shagging fungos well into the night. We got a standing ovation from the ground crew at 3 a.m. And that's no lie.
Howard Mudd.
I plan to wear 3 hats, 2 parkas, 2 hoodies, thermal stocks, but no underwear. Tornado goes commando, no matter what the temperature. Unlike you, Spike.
Yeah, no, I'm not a commando guy.
By the way, Tom Dempsey, he kicked for both teams. Dempsey had that leather block on his shoe.
All right, okay.
You like the leather, Spikey? Spritzy told me you like crinkled underwear, but who am I to judge? Okay, crinkled underpants. It is for you, my friend.
Could you just give us the forecast already?
Mostly cloudy skies, early high of 39. But it'll be 24 degrees by the fourth quarter. 50-50 shot of snow flurry. Sorry, ladies. Total accumulation only around 1 inch. I wouldn't even go out of the house for that. My professional call for Sunday's game, 50-50 shot of rain, snow, sleet, or hail. This forecast and tornado will always prevail. That's the most accurate forecast in the NFL playoffs this year and every year. Bundle up, friend.
Is that it?
He didn't even call for his music.
I know.
I was waiting for him to call for his music. I got nervous that he was going to say something that we couldn't air. So the groups that you were with.
Yes.
It was you, Roman Gabriel, and Joe Pellegrino.
I don't even know who that is.
As a Philadelphia media person from 40 years ago.
That's a classic.
Yep. And then... And then you, Mike Martz, and Howard Mudd, and Tornado Shapiro, with 4 ball girls in center field of Veterans Stadium.
Don't know how Howard Mudd got in that group.
Yeah, no way.
His offensive line coach.
Mike Martz also. There's no way he was a good guy.
No, there's no way.
Man, listen, Mike Martz is the partier.
I don't think so.
How would you know? I was there. You weren't.
Yeah, right.
Right. My bad.
You didn't see him out in center field with those ball girls.
Yeah, you wish you were hitting fungos.
See, I would have made a joke that he brought Mark Bulger with him.
A Bulger?
Yeah.
Come on.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mars Jewelers. Man. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mars Jewelers, online at mars-jewelers.com. The question, what is your confidence level heading into Sunday's game? Eagles-Rams, 37.6%, very confident, 53.8%. After we have Tornado there, I feel like I talk like him. 53.8% partly confident and 8.6% not that confident. So... Dan Orlovsky, who is everybody's favorite backup quarterback this week
yeah,
in Philadelphia. Here's what he had to say about this Rams team.
Do you think that they're the most dangerous team left in the NFC, the Rams?
I do. I think they're the most dangerous team left in the NFC. Okay, cool. All right, who in the NFC has a coach who's led their team to the Super Bowl and won it? Sean McVay. Who in the NFC has a quarterback that's gone to the Super Bowl and won it?
Okay.
The Rams. What team in the NFC has a quarterback that has had one of the most clutch playoff runs in the history of the NFL? The Rams with Matthew Stafford. In the playoffs with Stafford, he's 5-1 together with Sean McVay. 5-1, 70% completion percentage, a passer rating of 111, 18 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's a killer in the playoffs. Okay, then you go to Kyren Williams. Kyren's a walking touchdown. When he's on the field, all he does is score touchdowns. He's a walking touchdown. This defense, after last year, and this is said with the endless amount of admiration, last year with Aaron Donald, who's one of the greatest defensive linemen in the history of the NFL, they gave up 401 points. They had 15 takeaways and 44 sacks. This year, without Aaron Donald, this defense has given up 395 points. That's less than last year. They've gotten 22 takeaways. That's more than last year, and they've gotten 47 sacks. So we're talking about a defense that is a better unit this year than they were last year. They got a quarterback and coach that have done it. And I'm just telling everybody, I love Philadelphia. I think they're a fantastic football team. That quarterback and coach will walk into that building and saying, you got to come get us. We don't have to go beat you. You got to beat us. We've been there and done that. And that's why I think they're dangerous, because they're confident.
And that is a big endorsement of the Rams. And then Ryan Clark talked about the Rams as well. Here's what he had to say.
I think the other piece of this was it was total domination up front for the Los Angeles Rams versus the Minnesota Vikings, especially on the edge when you mentioned Young and Verse. You don't expect those same things to happen with Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. And the other piece of it was I felt like Chris Shula, the defensive coordinator, was extremely game plan specific when it came to the Minnesota Vikings. It looked like he took a page straight from Aaron Glenn's playbook. This is a totally different team in facing the Philadelphia Eagles. And obviously, Saquon Barkley got going late in the game, and he was able to break off some of those big runs. But how do you minimize him early? And what are you going to do on the back end that's a different wrinkle from what we saw last week when you have all of these one-on-one beaters from the Philadelphia Eagles offense?
So there you go, kind of the two sides of the coin. I tend to side more with Orlovsky that the Rams are a dangerous team, which has me, now what are we saying? Very confident, pretty confident, and not confident, right? Mm-hmm. In Sunday's game. You're pretty.
I'm pretty confident.
You're very.
Yes.
And I'm not.
You've, yep.
Even though I think they're going to win?
Yeah.
All right.
But you're like Tornado Shapiro.
Yeah, I'm not 50-50. You're 50-50. Yeah. Not that confident. 215-592-9494. Go ahead.
What if I were to tell you, Spike?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the Rams coming down the stretch.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford threw for 189. He threw for 110 versus the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They beat 19-9. He threw for 160. Versus the 49ers
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday night. I saw that Thursday night game. Did not look great.
That was an ugly game.
Yeah. They won that game 12-6.
Yep.
So, and he didn't play in the last game of the season versus Seattle. That was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, they rested all the starters.
He threw for 334. He only threw for 209 yards last week.
Mm-hmm.
So where is Matthew Stafford sort of lighting it up? He's putting up Jalen Hurts numbers.
Yeah, he hasn't had a great year.
Well, I'm just saying over the last month, he's putting up the same passing numbers that Jalen Hurts is essentially putting up.
As a team, from 5-6 to 10-7, mm-hmm. have gotten healthy, and like as I said at the top, those two guys, McVay, Stafford, in the playoffs, make me nervous, and they're sort of decimation of Minnesota. Now, look, you said it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before. Maybe Minnesota was a fraud team. Maybe mm-hmm. they were. But, we had Minnesota a couple years ago. The Giants beat a fraud Minnesota team. Mm-hmm. I think they were down 28-7, the Giants were, in that playoff game. So maybe the Vikings were paper tiger, just done with smoke and mirrors and good schemes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But to me, winning that game and the way that they won it, to go from a season that, by the way, they very well, with all the injuries they had in the first half of this season, they could have just said we don't have it this year, and they've battled back. So
listen, that's nice, and that's a nice. I'm listening to Orlowski and I'm listening to Ryan Clark, and I'm just saying this, and they're talking about Stafford and Sean McVay. Well, the offense isn't what's leading the charge. It's been the defense and creating turnovers, and Stafford isn't setting the world on fire. So you're playing up against a team that you almost have to be A-plus to beat. Like the Eagles, because they don't do a lot to beat themselves, you're going to have to come out and dominate. You don't get turnovers against them. How are you winning? It's clear that your offense doesn't roll up and down the field. You know, not since you played the Buffalo Bills has Matthew Stafford looked good offensively. And the defense has been playing well for them, but they're also playing a team that doesn't turn the ball over very often. So how can they get the short fields and things of that nature to help them out? As opposed to it's been Stafford, these receivers, and Kyren Williams and the great Sean McVay. I think we're giving the Rams a little more credit than they deserve.
That is
what I'm saying.
That's a fair point, and maybe it's just recency bias, right? Maybe it's because we saw the Rams win the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Totally different team.
Yeah, totally different team. And the 4 of the 5-1 thing came in that one run of 5-1 in the playoffs. 4 of those games came in that one run.
And the fifth win came last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That absolutely fair thing to say. I think that it is as much about the fact that we make games closer than they need to be. Let's put it this way. If the Rams are, if it's 16-10 in the fourth quarter, I have a lot more faith in what's on the Rams sideline than what was on the Packers sideline last week.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's as much about how we look.
How much faith do you have in his defense?
In the Eagles defense? Mm-hmm. A tremendous faith.
Because if the Eagles got to win 17-10, it's going to be because, okay, their defense held the mm-hmm. Rams to 10 points.
Yeah, if we hold them to 10 points, then we're going to win the game, or we're going to have a bad Monday.
Well, yeah.
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 215-519-9494. We'll get to your calls right after Jack tells you something about tequila.
Jackie Tequila, some say. You've heard me talking all season about Gran Coromino Tequila, the official luxury tequila of the Philadelphia Eagles, founded by Philly's biggest Eagles fan, Kevin Hart. Well, Gran Coromino and the Eagles have teamed up to reward Eagles fans who really know how to roast our rivals. Upload your best roast to roastourrivals.com for a chance to win epic Eagles experiences. That's roastourrivals.com. Get ready for Sunday's game and pick up a bottle of Gran Coromino tequila. And remember, cheer on the birds responsibly.
So, per Zach Berman, the guy that wrote Inner Excellence, who blew us off yesterday, Jim Murphy, is at the NovaCare facility.
Yeah.
So he's making the rounds.
I mean, my God, bro, you got your book.
We got it, bro.
Yeah. Now you're an Eagles fan now.
Yeah. Jim texted me at 6:41. Hey, I'm ready to come on the air now, 41 minutes after your show ends,
show
Murphy.
Yeah. So where's he from? Is he from this area?
No, I think he had a California area code, I believe. Oh, so I think he might be out there.
Got him in here.
Flew him in?
He better not be a damn Rams fan hiding out.
Well, he's going to be on.
There's no Rams fan, Psych.
I know one. I have one Rams fan friend.
Oh, nice.
One, yes.
Well, I just wonder, is Jim Murphy going to run him on the field on Sunday like Gilly did last week?
Could be.
Could be.
Jim Murphy better not be running them on the field.
I swear, war.
Yeah.
That book thing got a lot of run.
Oh, dude. When you get your opportunity to pounce, he is pouncing.
Yeah, my God.
215-592-9494. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike. Hey, Ike.
What up, Tasty Cake?
How you guys doing?
What's up, brother?
I'm fired up about Sunday. I love the Eagles. I think it's blowout city.
Blowout?
Blowout. 31-10. Wow. Run it right down their throat.
Wow, 31-10. Well, 31-10. The Eagles haven't had a ton of blowouts this year. Now, the Rams were one of them, 37-20. I think the Bengals was one. I don't forget that final score, but I remember it being sort of blowouty. Mm-hmm. Is there another
one? Well, it wasn't a blowout from start to finish with that Bengals.
Oh, right, because they started off pretty hot offensively. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But Spike, they were, when they played the Rams were pretty relatively healthy in that game. What's changed?
Well, their front four has gotten much better. Their defense has gotten better since then. And they were healthy, but if I remember correctly, now Nacua and Kupp were both injured in the early part of the year, right? I don't know when they came back, but I seem to remember it being within a few weeks in that.
I think Nacua got injured first game of the season.
Yeah,
but he cooked the Eagles last time.
Yeah, well.
Their front four was good against Minnesota. The front four is not going to be good against Mailata and Landon Dickerson.
Well, Mailata,
they're not going to be good against them.
But we talked to Jordan the Tuesday after that game, and he mentioned he was particularly sore after that game. And one of them, I forget if it was Verse got Mailata.
No, it was Verse.
It was Verse got Mailata on one of those. So look, I have more. If I lean one side or the other, it's certainly Eagles. But I don't see a blowout more than anything, and I think the Eagles are far more talented and far more complete than the Rams from a talent standpoint. Is like we don't blow a lot of teams out. There's not enough possessions for us to blow teams out usually, you know. And it's two of those touchdowns were Saquon 70-yard runs. Now look, maybe we get them and those are explosive plays or whatever, but typically our offense takes a little bit of time to get down the field. Yeah.
We blow teams out, Spike? After Jalen has a bad game. And the next game, we blow teams out.
Okay.
He does seem to bounce back. It does feel like he's been discussed a lot, and not just on air with us.
Everywhere.
Yeah, nationally, it does seem like he's being discussed. And I think Colin Cowherd had him as the eighth best quarterback remaining of the eight teams in the playoffs. I think he does take that stuff in and get some sort of motivation from it. It's all going to be in the pregame outfit, Tasty Cake. I need to see what it looks like
suit?
In the pregame. I need a suit Sunday.
Okay.
I need a suit. I need a business attire. Jalen buttoned up, looking presidential.
Now with the cold.
No pun intended, everybody.
Now with the cold and maybe some precipitation, do you see could this be a hat situation?
Yeah, I can see that. Put your nice overcoat on, coming in looking good.
You know?
Yeah. You think he's going to have a pea coat down to his ankles?
Not to his ankles. He knows better than to wear a coat down to his ankles. But yes, to his knees though, sure.
seriously, you know, Elliot, there's that episode of The Office where Michael Scott accidentally is wearing a lady suit that everyone finds out. I think Elliot may have bought a woman's coat and he doesn't know it.
And he's trying to rock it.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I need a photo of that on Sunday.
Don't worry.
I got to see the label.
We got to see it. Yeah. We'll check it out.
I got to see the label. Well, your lips to God's ears, Stacey Kate, because I can't take the anxiety of this past Sunday. I was gritting my teeth through the entire thing. I think it was finally when we made it 19-10, I got a little bit of confidence.
Oh, when it was 16-10, I was like, dude, we're about to lose this damn game. Yeah.
So I would love a 31-10. Give me a 31-10, Tasty Cake.
Yeah. Well, I hope I'm right.
Yeah, I hope you're right, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, brother.
I hope I'm as right as I was about the Sixers, Spike.
Yes.
Bang.
Almost got out of here without
almost,
that one.
Yeah. Almost.
Well, but Tasty Cake was buying in a few weeks ago.
Well, hold on, tread lightly.
Yeah.
I want to clarify one thing.
Yes, sir.
I want to buy in. Yeah. I love the Sixers.
Yeah.
I love the Sixers. I just didn't like what they did in the offseason. And I kind of saw that coming like a tsunami.
Well, I don't think it's what they did in the offseason is why they're bad.
I mean, Spike, you would have to agree with me.
No.
If it's top, you don't agree with me anymore? Okay.
Well, no. I don't. It's okay.
I was going to say.
But I don't agree. Real quick, I don't agree with you that the reason they're bad is because they had a bad offseason. The reason they're bad is because their best player has played 13 games.
But I told you that was going to happen.
Whoa.
I told you that, man. And Spike in.
But what does that have to do with the offseason?
Because in the past, with Tobias Harris-led Sixers, they won games without Embiid.
Talk to me, Tobias.
They won games without Embiid.
Tasty Cake, you're going to make me jump off a bridge with the Tobias Harris stuff.
It's pretty good.
Cannot win games without Embiid with Paul George.
What difference does it make? Can I ask you something? If Joel doesn't play, what difference does it make?
Right. In the end, to get to where they need to be, with the Cleveland and Boston, there is no difference.
Okay. So, but
if he could come back for the playoffs,
he's not.
With a different roster, they could be seated well enough that they could be high enough that if he does come back and play well in the playoffs, they could do something, but that's not going to happen now.
To you, the big difference is if they had just kept Tobias instead of Paul George, then they would have a chance to win a championship.
No, the second best thing is you got to get rid of Tom Thibodeau, Steve Kerr, Spoelstra, all have this roster. This current roster is above 500 with this current roster.
How many titles has Thibodeau won as a head coach?
Well, okay, Spike. He hasn't won any titles.
Okay.
He hasn't won any titles,
right.
But he has teams.
How did he handle Jimmy Butler, who asked out while he was the head coach?
Right, he did. Okay, Spike. He did.
No, I mean, if I'm going to make points, at Tasty Cake, I love you.
Tom Thibodeau.
I love you, but one guy has a championship, and the other doesn't. Tom Thibodeau runs his players into the ground. He shortens their careers. The coach doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't.
You use the championship thing every single time, yet I've heard you kill Doc Rivers, who has a championship, 1,000 times.
Right.
That line doesn't work.
Doc Rivers had 4 Hall of Famers on his championship team and should have won 3 championships with that. Rivers had Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo all on the same team.
Right. And Nick Nurse won a championship because 4 Hall of Famers were on crutches when they played.
Still won the championship.
But Golden State wasn't Golden State, Spike.
Still won the championship. Still got through the Eastern Conference. Still got through the Eastern Conference, right?
If Golden State was healthy, do they win that championship?
Well, if ifs and buts were chips and nuts, we'd all have enough for a party.
Love you, Spike.
Love you too, Tasty Cake.
I love you, Tasty Cake.
The Tobias Harris thing is the most confounding thing to me about
Tasty
Cake.
Well, he wins basketball games.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris.
Yeah. Listen, far be it for me to go back with all this. I'm not.
Okay.
Well, because it's Tobias Harris right now. Would you take, you'll take Tobias Harris numbers for Paul George now, wouldn't you?
Well, Paul George is better than Tobias Harris.
Well, he was.
He is right now.
I'm just saying, what's Paul George averaging?
17-6-5. I think two steals a game.
That's what Tobias averaged.
Well, but Tobias was the worst defensive player on the team. Well, not the worst defensive player on the team. Paul George, much better defensively. Paul George, much better shooter.
Here's what I'm saying, Spike, and that's not leading to wins.
Okay, but like, I'm not arguing about Tobias Harris. I'm not going to do it.
It's really me arguing about Paul George, really, is that he's not really leading you to victories.
Nobody wanted him to lead us to victories. He came here to be the third guy.
Oh.
And, I mean, it's true.
Oh, okay.
But it's not true?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, is it true or is it not true?
Well, but he's only the third guy because you have to divvy up shots. Well, when one guy is never playing, he has more of an opportunity to have more of an impact.
He was brought here to be the third piece in the
third. And we gave him a max contract to be the third
piece. So would the Golden State Warriors have, and so would...
Maybe they should have went on and did it then.
What difference does it make if Paul George is
here? Well, that would be one less contract that we have.
They can trade him whenever they want. Yes.
It would be one less contract that we would have on the roster that doesn't feel like an albatross around your neck.
It's not an albatross.
But that's what it feels like. Because it doesn't feel like Paul George is... You can't tell me Paul George feels like anything other than just another player right now.
I don't know what that means.
I mean that he's not a difference maker is what I'm saying.
He is not a difference maker with this particular team. He came here to be the third part of a championship team. The first part doesn't play. The second part has taken a step back in Tyrese Maxey.
Because he has to do so much more.
Please.
Right? You don't think so?
Please.
Well, he's been asked to do more. It's like AI.
He is.
When he had to do as much as AI, that's why AI's numbers were like they were, because nobody else could score. So now Maxey has to do everything.
We're blaming Maxey's step back on the fact that he has to do more?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Was he not better when he did less?
Of course it's better when he did less, which all comes back to the same thing, that the best player isn't playing.
I understand that part
of it.
Okay. But I'm also saying that when you bring in another guy that's supposed to be a quote-unquote max guy, and the best player isn't there, I'm not saying they are a title-contending team, but they shouldn't be cratering either.
I agree with you.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. It's like, if I'm going to pay that much money for that guy, then... Okay, Joel's not in. Well, we should still be able to stay afloat.
I agree with you. But Paul George over Tobias Harris, having Tobias Harris doesn't matter. And
it's about the same.
No, it's not the same.
Oh, it's the same.
Okay.
Ultimately, it is.
Okay.
Well, ultimately,
Ricky Council in there is the same.
True.
Because ultimately, none of it matters.
Well, I'm just saying.
Unless the big guy plays,
Ricky
it doesn't
Council's
matter.
A lot cheaper, too.
Cheaper for what?
For like, what he does.
What are you doing with the $50 million a year?
I don't know. That's not my job.
All right. Okay.
That's not my job. I don't know.
But it's not your job, but you certainly have an opinion on it.
Damn right I do.
What are you doing with it?
If I'm a viewer, well, if they were paying me $13 million a year, I would have that answer for you and much more.
But as a fan, you have this answer.
I know, because I have the right to have that answer if I'm watching them.
Okay, you're watching them.
So I'm watching them and giving my view.
I'm just wondering where that $50 million would have gone.
Don't know. That's something Daryl should have known.
Well, just who? Just one player. Give me one player.
Don't know. Don't have a free agent roster in front of me, but I know giving money to a bunch of old players that used to be good when they played in Houston certainly isn't helping the team either.
What are we talking about, Eric Gordon?
Whoever it was, the guys that played for him.
Caleb Martin, who's a good player.
Mm.
Okay. All right. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Well, I don't know either. We're talking about the Sixers.
Well, I don't want to be talking about the Sixers because it's the Friday before an Eagles game. But I'm just looking for your point. Like, what is the point? Drill down.
It's not about drilling down on a point. The point is that we're frustrated with the team.
Of course, they suck.
Okay, and so then you know what the point is then.
No, I don't, because the phone call...
I just told you what the point is.
I agree. I'm frustrated, too.
Okay, then. So, okay.
He called up and he said if we had Tobias Harris, we would be better. My answer was no, we wouldn't be.
But my point is this. So what? Why do you care?
He was the one that brought it up, Mike, not me.
But hold on. Like, you're getting so emotional and so amped up over this.
Well, you're doing it on purpose. You want to amp me up, so I'm amped up for you. So congratulations, No.
Hold on. You choose to get amped up about what you want to get choose to amped up about. You can ignore it if you want to.
Well, I can't. You're talking to me.
No, you... Well, I wasn't the one that got you amped up. Tasty Cake did.
I wasn't amped up with Tasty Cake.
Sure you were.
No, I wasn't. We hung up on him. I laughed, and I said the Tobias Harris thing is confounding.
Well, I heard a different phone called in.
Okay, and because you were all in on Tobias Harris,
yeah.
You felt it necessary to say we would also be better with Tobias Harris. And I told you we wouldn't be. And that's where we stand. And all of this other stuff is just is extracurricular to that. If you think that Tobias Harris is better than Paul George, have at it.
Right.
I don't think he is.
Exactly.
Well, and I can tell you that the Golden State Warriors weren't dying to have Tobias Harris on their team. Like, there were other teams that wanted Paul George. Orlando wanted Paul George. They didn't want Tobias Harris. There are plenty of teams that could have had Tobias Harris, and they did not choose to have him.
Forget about Tobias Harris. We're talking about Paul George.
Okay.
Tobias Harris is irrelevant.
That was what we were talking about.
Not ultimately.
Yes, it was
ultimately. No, Tobias Harris was just an example to bring up to make a point. Ultimately, it's complaining about Paul George not really being anything significant on the team. That's ultimately what the point is.
Okay. You win. Is Jaws next or is he not? Is he not next?
No.
Okay. Strapline. Oh, so we don't have him at all?
No.
Okay. All right.
Moore conversation next.
All right. Kellen Moore. It's a WIP afternoon show with Spike and Fritz.
Let me get Tornado Shapiro in here with Joe Conklin at the City Rhythm Orchestra at Westchester University on Friday, February 21st, and at the Broadway Theater in Pittman, New Jersey, on Saturday, February 22nd. Get your tickets at JoeConklin.com. All righty. Now, the Super Bowl is right around the corner, so what's the plan? Are you going to do the same thing you do every year, or are you ready to step it up and try something even better? Now, you can get a Super Bowl experience like no other at the Verizon Super Bowl Fan Fest coming to Lincoln Financial Field on February 9th. Now, you'll get exclusive access to the stadium where your favorite players make history, meet the game's most legendary players, all while enjoying live music and crushing game day bites. A Super Bowl only comes around once a year, so who's ready to celebrate bigger than ever before? Tickets are going fast. Don't miss out. Visit your local...